Big D Entertainment, in association with Dipsy Doodle Productions, presents the Dave Holly Hour. Brought to you by the Sky Lounge and Tea, XL Chiropractic, Quality Nails, and Books and Brews Pizzeria. The Dave Holly Hour features Sioux Empire arts and entertainment conversations and has been recognized by the Sioux Falls Stage Awards with a special distinction for promoting the arts. A true lover of arts, entertainment, good food, and fun times, including an occasional Jack Daniels. Okay, so a few Jack Daniels. Here he is, Dave Holly.
Thank you so much, Zach. Boy, I tell you what, I like that. That's a good sound in that new intro. Certainly. And it was fun having Zach over here at the Dipsy Doodle Production Studios. Always a good time, and sat around. The actual work that we had to do that day took like half hour, but Zach was here for three. And so that provided some good levity on a Sunday, that is for sure. Oh, I tell you what, Zach is one of our local comedians, and he's a funny guy and fun to be around. Well, because of my association with Zach and some of the local entertainers in the comedy world, I have somebody that I've met over the past year that is just as stellar as those people. Jamie Thurney, one of the female comics that we have in this area, is starting to knock it out of the park. She is on today's show. Then we're going to continue the comic theme, comic books, with Brian Brockmeyer and Zeke Hansen. So we've got those things to look forward to. For those of you, I'd hate to use the word tuning in, but, you know, it's just part of our lexicon, all right? So for those of you that are listening for the first time into the Dave Holly Hour, it's about Sioux Empire arts and entertainment conversations. Those conversations this week with the people that I just mentioned. In the meantime, some things you should know. We toast to Weekend Eve. This show comes out on Thursdays. And an old radio friend and I, back in the days when I was still in radio, we used to go out on Thursday mornings before our shifts started, and we'd get some coffee, and we'd toast to Weekend Eve. Well, then when I started this podcast, it occurred to me that so much of the arts and entertainment community really gets going on a Thursday. So we still like to call it Weekend Eve. It's just that now that I do a podcast instead of being on the air, I can have a drink in my hand. And I always toast to Jasper Newton Daniel. Yes, the real name of Jack Daniel. So it's a Jasper Newton once again, a little Jack Daniel, and some Diet Coke and a lime. Ooh, and the limes this past week have been especially good. No doubt about that. Now, there's one other thing that we do on a weekly basis. We have a little shout-out that we like to call Honorable Mention. All right, so I already told you that Zach had been over here and, you know, made a bright spot in my day. Well, somebody else made a bright spot in my day. Another new voice that you are going to hear coming up a little bit later in this episode is a man by the name of Gary Ray Ply. He and I were roommates on my first job out of college. We worked at the same radio stations, and that's plural. He worked on the FM, and I worked on the AM side. But we ended up rooming for a few months together before I got a job back in this area, but that was out in Colorado. Gary's now in Pueblo, Colorado, where he has an internet streaming radio station, KGRP. Okay? Now, I needed some promo work done, so I sent him a couple of scripts for him to read for me, and he did that with professionalism like I knew he would, and it was just so good that I really need to toast Facebook as well. Seriously, because when Gary and I worked together, that was 35 years ago, and we lost track of each other for about 30 years, but Facebook got us reconnected a couple years ago. You know, we always sit there and say, oh, that darn Facebook. No, you know what? If it's used properly, you can find some good out of it. And one of the great things for me was getting connected with an old friend. Well, in turn then, Gary asked me if I would do some recordings for him. So a mutual thing there. But just so good to, over the past couple of years now, be able to speak to Gary and text back and forth and catch up on Facebook. So I guess honorable mention goes doubly. It goes to Facebook for getting us back in touch. But to my friend Gary Reply, I love you, brother. You are a great man, and I'm so glad that you are providing the Pueblo area with an internet streaming radio station. I know how important those are, and I know how important it was to you to get that off the ground. So congratulations, my friend. You are this week's honorable mention. All right. Coming up later, Brian Brockmeyer and Zeke Hansen will talk about local comic books. But coming up next, comic Jamie Tharney on the Dave Holly Hour.
Dr. Perry Langston and Dr. Corey Tooney know excellence is in you. That's why they provide you with excellent care at Exo Chiropractic, improving your overall health in spirit, body, mind, and will. Get results the natural way. Arrange a consultation, 605-332-9235 or exochiros.com. Excellent care for excellent people. Exo Chiropractic, located at 4309 South Racket Drive in Sioux Falls.
Welcome back, everybody. Another Thursday has come around. It's time to talk arts and entertainment in the Sioux Empire. And it is so fun to have this lady on because she will not only make you laugh, she will also make herself laugh sometimes. And then the other part is if you introduce her wrong, she will bring you down. Do not say comedian. Comic. Jamie Tharney, how are
Hello.
You?
I'm super awesome, actually.
I am glad to hear that.
Yeah.
It's so good to have you here.
Thank you.
We've met over the past year, seen each other around a few times and so forth. And then when we had our first reinaugural of Vaudies, it had been several years since we'd put the show together. You were part of that.
Yeah.
And you were the comic
I was.
Relief for us.
Yes, not comedian.
No. All right, so let's talk about you. And
sure.
First of all, I mean, the women's comedy scene in this area is suddenly exploding.
Yes, it
okay?
is.
Okay, before we talk about how that's happened and so forth, let's find out about you being a comic.
Okay.
What started it?
Oh, geez. I was always a funny, silly kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember watching Monty Python and SNL with my mother. And then I would do impressions for her and reenact sketches for her just to make her laugh. And then I was writing jokes when I was 9 years old.
No kidding.
And writing little
Not
comic
just
strips.
Remembering jokes
no,
that people had told you. You
I
were
had
writing
a book.
Them.
I had a comedy book when I was 9 years old. Yeah, I've been writing jokes since then.
Do you remember the first one?
I do.
Let's hear it.
I wrote, it was a little comic strip, and it was a mom telling a daughter to mop the floor. And the girl says, I don't know what that is or something. And then the dad says, oh, well, it looks just like your hair.
Oh,
and,
okay.
And then I think the punchline was something silly like, I don't. She goes back to ask her mom, what's a mop? I think he said, your hair looks like a mop. And then she said, what's a mop? And I think the joke was that the daughter didn't know how to clean or something. Or anyway, I wrote it as a 9-year-old.
Do you still have it anywhere?
I think I might have it in a box that I drew.
The little mementos and so
forth. Yeah.
Excellent. And so you started early. You know what? When I was that age, I was doing some impressions as well.
Mm-hmm.
So what were those that you were doing?
Oh, gosh. I would do Billy Crystal, as that putting on the Ritz guy.
Yes.
And I'd be like, you look marvelous.
Marvelous.
When I was like 4 years old, I just had it perfected and I would do it all over the place. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I had a little Michael Jackson impression that I did. I would do it on the school bus and I would sing all of his songs and do little impressions of him. You know, back then he was so very popular and I just wanted to be Michael Jackson.
And were you seeking attention yourself then?
Oh, heck yeah.
Good for you.
Oh,
good answer.
Yeah.
The honest one.
Yeah. Yeah. I wanted people to like look at me and laugh at me, you know, that felt great.
Well, that's awesome that you started that young and,
yeah,
and maybe not necessarily at that point saying, oh, I'm going to grow up and be a comic.
Right.
But at least you were like, well, this is fun. I like making
this
people
is,
laugh and there's a
yes.
reward out of it.
Yeah.
What do you get as the reward out of it besides the laughter?
Besides the laughter, you know what? Now, lately, I have women coming up to me after shows and saying that I'm relatable and I've never heard anybody talk about that subject before. I'm so glad you did because it is hilarious when you look at it that way. You know, because I talk about things that are not really things we talk about in polite society.
No.
And, but I do it in a way that makes it not so scary and maybe not so dirty in a way, you know, more silly.
All right. So you were young and you had the SNL stuff that you could mm-hmm. watch. You were also watching Monty Python.
Yeah.
Favorite Monty Python skit?
The fish dance.
Oh.
That one.
That's
where they're
classic.
Slapping. Yes. I reenacted that at a talent show in the sixth grade and nobody would do it with me. So I just had an imaginary other person I would dance up to and slap with a fish.
The first time I ever saw Monty Python in my life, I had gone down to Nashville, Tennessee. My sister was living down there and I had never seen Monty Python. It's like, what is this? And it was all the naughty bits one that they were doing.
Right.
And it was just so hilarious. And then they show a woman in undergarments, naughty bits.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then they do a few other things. And then they come back and it's a fly wearing a bikini. Naughty bits of a fly. And I about split a gut.
Yeah.
And I thought, man, what is this stuff? And then wasn't long after that that SNL starts coming out.
Right.
So plenty of different things that our generation and, well, my mm-hmm. generation, your generation, and younger has
yeah.
had the opportunity to pick up on.
Mm-hmm.
But what about classic comics and so forth? Do you look back at, you know, the old Lucille Ball stuff?
Oh, of course.
And you know, kind of not necessarily mimic it, but at least
right.
get the ideas and so forth?
Yeah, yeah. I definitely watched I Love Lucy, and I definitely watched The Carol Burnett Show, which I love. That scene where she comes down the stairs wearing the curtain with the curtain rod still in it just still kills me. I saw it the other day on one of those old TV stations, and I just laughed just as hard.
Just a little something I saw on the window.
Right? How funny is that?
In fact, my wife and I and some friends... 2 or 3 years ago,
mm-hmm.
she was up at the Twin Cities, and so we got to go see Carol Burnett, and it basically was just replaying everything, and then the rest was all house light questions from the audience and
I
so
love
forth.
It when
it was
she does
fantastic.
That.
Fantastic.
I just love that part of her show where she would ask people questions, and then they would ask her especially the kids would ask her things like, why are you allowed to be in charge? And it was so strange to see, you know, but back then women were not in charge of
That's
those
right.
things at all. So it was a big deal that she had short hair and she wore like these kind of androgynous suits. And that was, you know, very against
community standards.
Right.
And so forth. Yeah.
And so watching kids, these little girls ask her, how do you get to do that? You know, and I was like, I see that little feminism spark in their little eyes, you know, it was cool to see.
All right, so you had that to rely on and
mm-hmm.
work from and so forth. When it comes to modern female comics,
mm-hmm.
who did you, especially about the time that you said, I really want to get into this and
right.
start performing in front of people and so forth, not just be funny around family and kids on the bus.
Right.
But when you determined it was going to be part of your life, who did you start watching at that point and
mm-hmm.
Saying, boy, they got some good stuff and I want to be able to do this?
I can remember the first time I watched Margaret Cho, and the subject she talked about shocked the hell out of me.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh my God, I can't believe she's talking about that. I can't believe she said that out loud. And then at the same time, I was like, wait a minute, I kind of feel the same way. And then I changed the way I saw comedy as less of a way of to just make people laugh, but make them think about things in a different way. And just like good art does, it evokes a feeling in you that maybe you wouldn't have had otherwise. Maybe it changes the way you see the world. And whenever I saw her be so shocking and talk about those things, I thought, wow, more women should talk about this stuff out loud, because it really isn't that big of a deal, you know? We really should discuss these things with each other and in front of each other, and I wanted to be a part of that.
All right, so there's the commonality of that with the women's organizations and so forth, and in embracing that. But you are not from this area originally.
No,
you're
I'm not.
From Florida.
I am. I am from Tampa, Florida.
And so when you see comedy down in Tampa, Florida, mm-hmm. then you get up here and you start performing at open mics and so forth, and,
right.
and then getting some other shots to be, you know, opening or featured or mm-hmm. headlining and so mm-hmm. forth. Is comedy comedy no matter where we are?
No, it is definitely different in Florida.
How so?
It is definitely a dudes bros club.
Oh, really?
Yes, very much so. You have to go to like mainly alternative type clubs, like places like the Improv. That's definitely a boys club there. I went there a lot when I was in my 20s. And even though it was 20 years ago, you know, things really haven't changed much from what I hear. So it's definitely a harder market to break into as a female. And here, the people have such a different attitude. People aren't gatekeeping the arts mm-hmm. here. People are very welcoming to newcomers, and they want to hear what new people have to say, and they want to give new people a chance to bring a different point of view out. And just the Sioux Falls art scene, and especially the comedy scene, is just so welcoming and awesome. And I'm very grateful for it.
Who got you started up here?
Oh gosh, I started going to Boss's Comedy Club.
Mm-hmm.
I was writing jokes again, and I was feeling the itch to get in, you know, on stage again. Uh-huh. And so I was like, I need to find an open mic. So I found one here, and I came, and I got on stage, and I was so scared that either they would be kind of gatekeeping and not like me, or it would be a boys club like it was back home, but it wasn't. And everybody laughed at my jokes, and then afterwards, everybody told me I had a good set, and it just really boosted me. And so I came back and back and back, and I got a lot of good advice from Nathan Holt and Skylar mm-hmm. Bulks and Luke Johnson. And they were like the first ones to give me shots at these little showcases at like the Full Circle Book Co-op and Books and Brews, the bonus round. And I really gave me a chance to find my voice and watch people's reactions to my jokes.
Right. And now there is a group of women in this town.
Yes, there is.
That are performing. I shouldn't say just this town, because we've also got, you know, Alicia Rain from up in Watertown and Huron area and so mm-hmm. forth. And so when this group gets together now, I mean, there's some fun stuff.
Right.
You're calling it. One of the shows has been Cutest Uterus.
Yes.
I love that title.
Uh-huh.
And then what are the other things that are associated with it in terms of the billing right now?
Okay. So we've got Regina Kramer,
mm-hmm.
Who I love so much, Sarah King. And Alex Anson is our host, and we came up in the Boss's comedy scene, and now we're kind of venturing out on our own with our own little group, our own little troupe, and it's been really awesome and amazing.
All right, and what's the troupe called?
Prairie Madness.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
And let's see, so here we are on a Thursday. Anything coming up this weekend right now, or when do you have a show coming up next for that group?
Next show for that group will be December the 6th.
Okay.
And that's going to be at Monk's Ale House. And that's going to be kind of a Christmas theme show. We're all going to dress up very Christmassy.
Uh-huh.
And we encourage our guests to come
dressed. To do the same?
Yeah.
Always
ugly
fun.
Sweaters, all of that, whatever you'd like. And we're going to kind of have a Christmas aesthetic to the theme of the show, and we're calling it the Ho 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 Christmas Show.
See, I knew there would be something that
yes.
would be involved.
Yeah.
So what do you enjoy about all the other female comics in this troupe,
mm-hmm.
and what have you learned from each other?
So we get together and we write together, and I think that's what keeps us fresh and on point, and I think that's what keeps our comedy great. But we don't try to change anyone else's style. We all have very specific mm-hmm. styles. We're all, each of us are in a different place in our life. You know, I'm married, I have kids. I'm gonna be 42. Alex is living with her boyfriend, longtime boyfriend, Skylar Bulks, who's also one of the comedians in town.
Mm-hmm.
Regina's single. Sarah's got a boyfriend that lives out of town. So we all have different relationship statuses. We all have different backgrounds. And I think that gives us kind of a Spice Girls sort of mystique that there's something for everybody.
And who brought it together?
I did.
You were the one?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I was like, I need to get these girls out and all of us be together because we are hilarious when we hang out together. And we have such a great time.
Did you kind of take over the marketing part of it as well then? Or do you each have like little niches that you work with?
Well, we each do different things, you know, like somebody will design a flyer or somebody will do something else. Somebody will reach out to a venue maybe. And so we all bring different things. And I think that we are all better together than we are apart. But at the same time, we don't discourage each other from doing things on our own.
Mm-hmm.
We're all getting gigs kind of on our own,
right,
at different showcases. And I think that's very healthy.
What's the reaction been, first of all, from venues and then,
right,
also from crowds that are going to, you know, something that's all,
mm-hmm,
women in, when it comes to comedy after, like you said, you know, back in Florida, dudes and bros.
Yeah, yeah, really. I think we get a huge response that I was not expecting. Our first show we did kind of a preview show, like a little free show at Lupulin Brewery. I think that was back in September. And we wanted to just be kind of a practice show. We weren't expecting anything out of it, but we ended up packing that house.
Excellent.
And we blew the doors down. And it was a great show and we killed it. And we were all so on. And I was like, wow, we've really got something here. And so after that, then we did the Cutest Uterus show in Sioux City. Once again, sold the place out. And it was a huge outturning of people that I you know, didn't expect. A lot of women, middle-aged women, my age, that are looking for something to go to that's different and fun. And they want to hear people talk about their lives.
What got you excited coming up here and obviously finding, you know, an open mic to get involved,
mm-hmm,
and now you've got this, but what do you do to continue this now? What's going to be the excitement that drives Jamie Tharney to just knock him dead no matter where you are?
The thing that drives me is something different. I want a new audience. I need a new theme for a show. I need to write new jokes. I can't just stay stagnant. I need something new to happen all the time. And so I'm constantly moving forward. Where can we take this show next? Where can I go next? Where's an open mic somewhere in a different city somewhere I can go try, just to find new audiences? But at the same time, I am representing Sioux Falls comedy.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to mind my P's and Q's. And I wouldn't be able to look for those venues or be invited to those venues if it wasn't for the scene here in Sioux Falls. And so I will always call Sioux Falls my comedy home.
That's excellent.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you think of Sioux Falls in terms of arts and entertainment overall besides comedy?
I get this impression that every band nerd in the United States and every theater geek moved to Sioux Falls and decided to create this beautiful art scene where if there's anything you want to try, if there's anything you want to see, there's something for you. And nobody's going to be like, no, you can't join our group. You can't come do this mic, or,
well,
you're not invited. There's none of that here.
No. And in fact, I think that's been my biggest surprise since starting this podcast just over a year ago, is that the word competition rarely comes up.
No, we're all just lifting each other up.
Yeah. But the word that comes up all the time is collaboration.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's just so amazing. And I've seen that because, you know, I grew up not too far from here down in Rock Rapids. And
mm-hmm.
Spent a lot of time growing up here in Sioux Falls, so, you know, coming,
right,
up here to hang out and do whatever, because it was the big city.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And now this big city has a big city feel to it,
yes,
even though we're not necessarily a big city.
Right.
But we've got that feel.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is happening in such great ways. And damn COVID,
right,
that it had to come along. But in the meantime, at least we were ahead of the curve, pardon the pun that way,
yeah,
that we were ahead of the arts curve
yes,
in getting so many people involved in so many things. And so many venues now.
Right.
Is just amazing, you know, because you mentioned it, you know, the book co-op.
Right.
You know, that, hey, we're going to have this little bookstore. It's going to have some beer, too. And you know what? Hey, if you want to put on a little stage presentation, we're game for that.
Right.
Yeah. And so it's been fun to see that from my perspective. Mm-hmm. And I see that has become just such a great thing. And the comedy thing especially, because, you know, we already had a lot of things going on.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had comedy shops in the past.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, they were kind of gone.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, here's these young guys that started doing some open mics and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, it's exploded again.
Yeah.
And that has to be just such a fun thing for you to be getting involved in then.
I'm excited. I feel like I came in right at the cusp of this huge wave of the comedy scene here. And the past year, it has just grown exponentially, and not just the amount of comics that we've accumulated, but the quality.
True.
Of comedy, yeah, that we're giving out is it's really good.
Right, because, you know, some people automatically think, oh, open mic, it's amateur night, mm-hmm. and so forth.
No.
But, you know, most of the people that are there are already performing in better situations,
yeah.
if you want to say it that way.
Right.
They've been featured. They've been headlining or something.
Yeah.
They're maybe trying out some new things. And then, sure, somebody else might try for the first mm-hmm. time as well.
Right.
Yeah. So,
and we're very welcoming of that.
That you are. Mm-hmm. In fact, you know, most of you were even kind enough to say I did okay when I tried it a few weeks back. You missed it, by the way.
I know. I'm so sorry.
Okay. There will probably be another time.
I hope so.
Okay, I hope so, too. In the meantime, one of the things that we did collaborate on, Vaudies.
Right.
Yes, something that Miss Jenny Mack and I had started years ago. Both of us had some health issues over the past few years then. And the venue that we loved so much changed hands and became something completely different. Mm-hmm. Now we finally found another great place to hold it down at the Books and Brews. And in our return, again, with the exception of me, all female cast.
Right.
So you had that going for you.
Yeah.
And you were our comic relief that
yes.
night.
Yes.
What was your experience like for that?
Oh, it was great. The first row of people, they were laughing so hard. They were literally falling out of that sofa.
Uh-huh.
And it was just killing me. And I just couldn't stop poking at them because they were just laughing so hard that they were crying. And I just was getting such great satisfaction from that. It was so much fun.
What about the times that it hasn't been a crowd that's made mm-hmm. you go, oh, man, this is awesome. I've got this front row right here.
Yeah.
I can have a little fun and so
yeah,
forth.
Yeah.
As our mutual friend Dan Bublitz would say, you mm-hmm. know, the art of bombing.
Yes.
What has been your experience with having some nights that didn't quite go so well and then performing after that?
Oh, I have definitely had some nights like that. However, that is just part of the process.
Yeah.
It is just something that's going to happen whether you want it to happen or not, and you're not going to pick when that happens. So you just kind of have to go with the flow and learn from it, and you cannot let it stop you, because just because you have one bad night doesn't mean you're not going to kill the next night.
Well, and I was surprised earlier when you were talking about the fact you like to be challenged by writing new jokes and continuing to stay fresh, because there's also the same situation of, when you do write a new joke,
mm-hmm.
you go out and tell it for the first time,
yeah.
it might be a hit, might be a bomb.
It might not.
But then the second time might be the opposite of either one of
those. It's true. And sometimes that's very dependent on what audience you have. I've noticed going to all of the mics that some nights all of us will kill, and then some nights all of us will do what's almost the exact same set, but we'll get nothing from the audience. And so that's just a thing that happens, and it's a fickle thing, people's reactions to your jokes, and you just gotta be hopeful for the good ones.
What's your dream as a comic?
My dream as a comic?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, gosh.
What do you want to have happen? What are the goals? What are the ambitions?
I want one day to open for somebody like Margaret Cho, or maybe even Tom Segura. He's one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
I just love his cadence. And Rodman, I don't know if you've heard of him, but I highly suggest that you listen to him. He has this accent, and he's from Georgia. And so I kind of relate to his Southern colloquialisms. And but he tells this story about living in a Hispanic neighborhood and getting the fancy corn on the cob, the Mexican corn on the cob for the first time. And it kills me every time I hear it. And I would love to be able to open for a comic who is one of my favorites.
Obviously a dream. Mm-hmm. That would be great. Well, we hope that happens for
maybe
you.
Maybe one day.
Well, like you said, we're going to knock on Formica at this place.
Yeah,
we're at the Wood Grain, as we are quite often. And you've performed here too, haven't you,
as part of
the open mics?
Yes, a lot,
yeah. Pretty good crowd typically, isn't it?
Mostly, yeah. And sometimes it's weird, and sometimes... it's not because of the crowd. It's because I'm just having a weird night. But that's how it goes at mics. You know, you try new stuff. And at the mics, I like to try new things and see what happens.
You know, we've talked about how the crowds are in this part of the country and so forth. But what do you think of us as someone that got transplanted here, as a people in general? And what do you find funny about us that you then relate into comedy?
Oh my gosh. I love how genuine everybody is here. There's no pretension. You know, there's none of that, oh, you don't have that kind of purse, so I'm not going to hang out with you. There's none of that here. I tell a story, well, an observation, I say, but I get different reactions to it. And I say, there are no women in the Midwest who are skinny on purpose, because all y'all eat like crazy. You're like hobbits. Like, your whole day is centered around when you're going to eat, what you're going to eat, what are we going to eat for lunch? It's half of what we talk about at work, and I work in a laboratory.
Well, my mother is 92, and it used to be said about her quite often. She still has all her faculties and is pretty sharp yet, but we always got such a kick out of, you know, if you were going to go over, it's like, geez, don't eat anything before you go there, because even most of the time it was quote-unquote, we'll just have a little something.
And
And, you know, seven-course meal for a little something.
That's my favorite thing. I will eat any kind of bake you want to hand me. I'll eat an egg bake all day. I love it.
And did you learn the difference between casserole and hot dish?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
That is, you know, one that, you know, some people in the that don't come or hail from this area don't understand.
I didn't understand it before I came here. Yeah. I just thought everything was a casserole. And I thought egg bakes were quiches. And that is not true.
No, it's not. And don't offend a 90-year-old that says so.
Good gosh, no.
All right. So aside from performing, what do you like to be entertained by here in town?
I love the view from my backyard right now.
Oh,
I know that
awesome.
Sounds so silly, but we got this new place up on Bonson.
Okay.
And the view from my backyard is probably one of the best things in town right now. That I've been spending a lot of time in my backyard. You can tell by what I'm talking about. But also the food here. You know I mentioned earlier, you know, I love that about the Midwest. But if there is anything you want to eat, you can find it in Sioux Falls. If you are at a nightclub, like, for instance, I found out just recently that Pave serves soup that's supposed to be really, really good.
I hadn't heard that.
Yes. So
must give it a try.
The nightclub, you can be, you know, bumping and getting your groove on and eating soup at the same time. And I think that's pretty amazing.
And that sounds like a joke that's coming in a routine from you soon.
Probably. That's probably one of the most Midwestern things I've ever heard.
What was the first food when you got up here that you said, what the hell's that?
Okay. So Jell-O and whipped cream and pretzels is not a salad.
You're not a Methodist, are you?
No.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, we can talk about that, too, if you want to talk about that. But, yeah, Jell-O is salad. And I'm okay with that. I'll call it a salad all day.
Because I know a lot of people get up here and they go, what's this chislik stuff?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I actually went on a special trip up to Watertown to get chislik.
Oh.
And it was very good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, you do know that, you know, the real chislik is lamb.
Yes.
Okay, so you've had both?
I've had both.
Okay,
fried
good.
And roasted, I think.
Yeah, roasted as well.
Yes.
Yep. Awesome. Good. Boy. So you've embraced this place haven't you?
Yeah, I'm all about it, man.
What other types of hobbies besides sitting out back?
I watercolor.
Oh.
Yeah, I do abstract.
So this, I thought I was just going to be interviewing an entertainer tonight, not an artist as well.
No, yeah, I do. I totally, I'm very into art. Have been since I was a kid. Took art lessons, that kind of stuff when I was younger. Was very into Bob Ross. I had the Bob Ross painting kit.
Oh, Books and Brews.
Yeah. And so I've, carried that on into adulthood, and I paint
really?
A lot. Yeah. My first winter here, everything was just so beautiful to me, and everything was kind of white and gray and black. And so I spent a lot of time taking pictures of the snow and then trying to recreate it, you know, with my watercolors, because I had never been able to do that before, see it in real life and then paint it. And so my first winter here, I painted a lot.
Mm-hmm. What do you correlate about painting to your comedy?
I think they're both just avenues for my crazy to come out.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're just healthy avenues for me to get out my behaviors that I should not be doing at work.
Oh, okay. We won't tell anybody that about work. What do you enjoy about, life in the Midwest anyway, mm-hmm. then?
I love that my kids are going to grow up around people that are nice to them.
Yeah.
That's what I love the
Excellent.
Most. That they have such good friends and that I've made such good friends. And it is so easy to make friends here and to find people that you actually want to spend time with. And I've done that. And I think that's a great thing.
What ages are they?
They are 8 and 9.
8 and 9.
Right back to back, little girls.
Yeah. And are you seeing any hints of artistic talents, entertainment talents out of them and so forth?
Oh, definitely. Gosh, the little 8-year-old and the 9-year-old, they will get together and write jokes and then come present them to me.
Hmm.
You know.
Remind you of anybody then?
I know, right? And then they'll come be like, hey, Mom, is this a funny joke? And they'll tell me some silly knock-knock joke that doesn't make any sense. And I'm like, that's a great joke because I don't want to discourage them.
Right, yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much, Jamie,
Thanks.
For spending time with us on the Dave Holly Hour. Certainly appreciate it. Look forward to seeing more of you. As you mentioned, you have the Prairie Madness show coming up.
Yes, on the 7th
of 6th.
Yes, the Ho 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 Christmas show.
Excellent. Look forward to that. Mm-hmm. Anything booked beyond that yet?
Yeah, December 19th at Bosses.
Okay.
And then tentatively, a big announcement is January the 16th. We're going to do a Prairie Madness show at the Marquee in Sioux City.
Excellent.
And it's a big deal for us.
Fantastic. And if people want to get in touch with you, either individually for mm-hmm. yourself as a comic, or they want to get the group together and have them come perform at a corporate event or another venue or something, mm-hmm. what would they need to do?
Just go to Facebook, Jamie Tharney Comedy, or you can go to Prairie Madness Comedy on Facebook, and you can reach me immediately.
Fantastic. All right. Thanks again for spending the time. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Dave.
And we'll be back with more of the Dave Holly Hour in just a moment.
Sure, they have darts, and you've heard me talk about how ruggedly handsome the trivia host is, but all caps fun never stops at the Sky Lounge and Tea. And fun is best had with your friends enjoying live entertainment, as in live and local. Yeah, the Sky Lounge believes in giving you the best bands, solo artists, and comedians from the area. The Neo Johnsons, Elizabeth Hunstead, Skylar Volks, as well as many others. And a great staff will make sure you enjoy your fun at the Sky Lounge in T, South Dakota.
One podcast just isn't enough. Make sure you listen to Dave's other show, Dave Holly's More M.O.R., as he goes through great songs from a mostly forgotten radio format known as Middle of the Road. It's part history, fun facts, occasional news of what many great artists are doing now, and you'll even hear about what's old is new again. Search M.O.R. and listen on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. The days of yore with More M.O.R.
Dave Holly Hour. Like eavesdropping on a great conversation between two very interesting people.
Welcome back to the Dave Holly Hour, everyone. I am Dave Holly. We named the show after me. The marketing department had a hell of a good time doing it, too. And they come up with everything for this show. But what they don't do is come up with a guest list. And I don't even always necessarily do that until somebody says, hey, Dave, you should really introduce yourself to Brian. It's like, well,
kind of know who Brian is. He used to work in the same building. Didn't know what other hobbies Brian had, however. Brian Brockmeyer, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Glad to hear that I'm doing well. Thank you. And you publish comic books, and you have been part of SuperCon.
Yes.
Yeah, so you have definitely been helping us get plenty of things out to the world. You've been able to bring along someone that is a comic book writer, Zeke Hansen. How are you?
I'm doing well. How about you?
I'm doing well also. Thank you. I think we've got everybody all hooked up now to the right microphones, so we should be able to rock and roll. And so, Brian, tell us what got you started in publishing comic books.
Absolutely. And thanks for having us.
Oh, really, my pleasure.
It.
Yeah.
It was awesome. So to start with, I did this thing called SuperCon here in town in Sioux Falls, and that got me really into the nerd community, very embedded in that, and just got to meet some very talented people by doing that. And so I started to think about, okay, I've always loved comic books. I do a little bit of writing. There's some really talented people. We'll start working with these guys and publish something. Because it's one thing to really enjoy something, but to contribute to that community, a little different, you know? So, yeah, I mean, that's really what inspired me to do it, is just working with these really talented people locally. And
and you call it the nerd community?
Yeah, the nerd community, absolutely.
That's actually a part of the whole gig, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Yeah, you know, you're not just saying, hey, we're a bunch of nerds. Yeah, that's the business of it, correct?
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. So what about you then, Zeke? What made you say, you know what, this is kind of a good little thing to do as a side gig?
Well, I'm hoping it's not a side gig before mm-hmm. too long. I've been doing video and writing for 13 years, like all over the world. I've traveled with a camera for documentaries, for conflict photography, for feature films. But I write scripts as well. And I've been pitching, before I met Brian, I've been pitching one of the graphic novels that I talked to him about for 8 years to ridiculous companies that are way too big for me because I don't have a writing agent. And rightfully so, they were not getting back to me. But I, through a mutual connection, I was able to meet Brian, and Brian said they were looking for writers, and I think I got in just under the wire. And now we're able to, you know, kick some new titles out, which is pretty cool.
All right. So tell us what you write.
Right now we have Frankenstein issue one that just dropped on Halloween. And it's been a really fun ride so far. It's about founding father Ben Franklin scrambling for new forces to fight the Deadcoats with. And through his use in newfound electricity, he raises an army of Deadcoats to combat the British Empire.
Oh, intriguing.
Yeah.
What brought that all to your mind?
Lightning struck the brain. Rob Lehman and Tyler Layton co-wrote the issue with me, or the series with me. And it was Thanksgiving, day before Thanksgiving, about 2010, Rob was like, what about this? And it just kind of rattled around for the next 8 years where, you know, what about that? So I would kind of take a crack at it every once in a while, write a page here or there. And then I had, I think, 12 pages I brought to Brian initially, and he's like, cool, but you should flesh it out a little bit. And so between March and June of this year, we fleshed it out a lot, and that's the Frankenstein that we have now.
That's excellent. And you know, I hate to use the phrase, but it ties in. You said lightning struck it, so was this a lot of brainstorming?
A lot of brainstorming, yeah. So that we each bring something different to the table, and like as much writing as we do that we feel like is important. Mikey Martinez is the illustrator and the artist behind it. We wouldn't have anything without him. But the brainstorming part of it was we all bring something a little bit different. So Rob he kind of pokes his head in the door and is like, "What about this?" And then Tyler is much more diligent with research than I am. And then I can just kind of spew pages out 30 at a crack. So I'll write something out and then Tyler will fact check it, and then he'll be like, well, actually, this is what happened, and then he'll send that back to me, and I'll connect some more dots, and then Rob will be like, but you completely ignored this person. Then Brian's like, well, you completely ignored this person. And we all kind of get there together.
Ah. So. Yeah, so you got to make sure that there's a checks and balances then, don't you?
Yep.
Yeah, that sounds great. But how do we look at Frankenstein then?
Well, right now.
Do we look at him as a monster or do we look at him as Ben Franklin?
Well, Ben Franklin, it's interesting. I'm not sure that we depict anybody as a villain or as a hero except mm-hmm. the British in right. the story. So you got to kind of make up your mind. There's certainly a Faustian gamble that's being made throughout the whole story arc. And no one is wearing a halo, I guess, is the theme.
Uh-huh. So when this idea came to you, Brian, what did you do? Jump on the bandwagon right away or say, bring me some more?
Exactly. It was bring me some more. So we were introduced a mutual friend, Dan. Actually, Dan Bubas Jr., who's on the podcast recently. Yeah. So.
Thanks, Dan.
Yeah, thanks, Dan. And he's like, hey, I got this guy named Zeke. He's got these great story ideas. And Dan wants to work with us as well. So it was like, all right, man, got great. Just keep bringing me people and all that. You know, the nerd community, those connections are awesome. So Zeke's ideas, though, are great. And some of the stuff he had written, I don't know how many stories did you drop, at least half a dozen.
I think six or seven. Yeah.
Yeah, just like right my way. And yeah, I mean, Frankenstein immediately stood out. And I was like, we need to get on this sooner than later. The concept was great, and all the ideas behind it, everything you can do, the potential for it is amazing. So I'm kind of a pun man too. So anytime we can do a pun, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of them in there, I mean, just sneak them in. But yeah, so that was it. Was yeah.
What did you like about it?
It's all written in the tone of the old English, really. I mean, that the right way to describe it. So the language in it, it's awesome because it's like you're back in the 1770s, right? And you're going through and you're experiencing it. And then I have to see something for me to really appreciate it. And I think that's why I like comic books so much, that visual piece of it. And when I was reading Zeke's initial script, I was like, this is great. I can see this in my head. And you know, it's kind of unfolding and I've got this like idea of this zombie kind of feel to it and kind of know what's going to happen, a little bit more of a monster Frankenstein type story as well. And so that was how I originally like saw that in my head, the old, black and whites. So when that artwork was there, then it was like, okay, Mike, you got to get on this and we got to see what we can do. And, it was just bounced around and Zeke came back after I challenged him a little bit more to put some more to paper, and he did. He immediately came up with some really great stuff and character arcs and all that. It was good.
When the artwork came around, did you say, yeah, that's what was in my brain?
Oh, yeah.
Was it better than what was in your brain?
It was better than
what it was. Better. Okay. So it met expectations, went beyond.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah. And Mikey's amazing. So
yeah, I mean, I can't say enough good about what Mikey's done, not just in ours, but just in general. Like, he's just an incredible artist, and I'm honestly fortunate to know him at all, let alone work with him.
So, Brian, are there people that don't know that, you know, comic books are published right here in Sioux Falls, South Dakota?
Apparently there's a lot of them, yes.
Where do we find them, first of all, as well?
But yeah, we're trying to get the word out. So our comic books are in a lot of local businesses right now. Mm-hmm. Game Chest, Zambros,
both last stops.
We're in just thinking all the places we just dropped all these off. We're in Ground Zero Gaming out in Brandon. We're online.
Nerdvana.
Yeah, so you're getting it out there.
Yeah,
so it dropped on Halloween. So we've had a week into it now. What's been response?
Well, I mean, we were in Brookings. Comic book shop in up north. I don't think we are anymore. I think we're sold out there.
Yeah, I think we sold out. They got 20 issues.
We'll take that as a positive.
Yeah, so I mean, all those, yeah. I've gotten a few responses back from people who are going out to pick up copies, and a couple of them said that if they weren't the last copy there, that they were. You know, there weren't five like we left. You know, sometimes. So we are selling them.
Excellent.
And then, online, it seems like a positive response so far.
We pulled 15 to sell online, and we've already sold those. You know, just held them aside and put them up to as you know, so.
Yeah,
yeah. That was.
So, are we looking at a second printing?
We're gonna have to.
What a darn tough spot to be in, huh?
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, we're going to have to do a second printing. That's excellent. Not the only comic book that you have in your core, though, is it?
No, no.
Yeah, what else do we have?
Robot Dance Club was the first story arc we came out with, and it was Miles Roush and Mikey Martinez and I did that one. Post-apocalyptic type future, but it's not a bad future necessarily. It's a really complacent future.
Okay.
And the robots kind of fill in for that by dancing. They have their own personalities and character, and yeah. So it's, I don't know.
Well, you're on your fourth issue of that,
yes,
right?
Yes, yep. Going on issue four. We'll be doing a trade of that soon. We've sold out completely of issue ones, and then we've got some issue twos and threes that are available out there in the world. But yeah, we want to get that trade out and then move on to issue four, five, and six. And then I think we had originally, we were going to do like a 9 comic book run on that.
Okay.
Yep. Circle back around later. But yeah.
And yeah. Then how many will we have coming out with Franklin stuff?
So as it's written right now, kind of the public gets to decide. We have a 4 okay. arc issue, but they're technically double issues, I think, if you map it out. So the trade for that will be about 150 pages once it's done.
Excellent.
And then based on, like, that wraps up in a bow, and then based on what reception is, then we have penciled out another 4 doubles that we could do, but you know, that's going to sit on the back burner for a little bit while we get some other titles done.
Mm-hmm. What's it take to write a comic book? You know, people have their idea of, hey, if I were to write a novel, I'd just sit down and here's how it goes, or I'm going to write a short story and so forth. But when you're writing as a comic book writer, what kind of format do you call that? Is there a do you do it just, I'm thinking pain by pain, or does the artwork come along after that then?
You would have to ask a comic book writer.
Yeah.
I very fortunately, one of the first things I told Brian when we sat down initially was, if you're looking for a specific script, I can't do that. Like, I'm already mm-hmm. writing in several styles. I have TV, I have film, mm-hmm. I have like 3 other ones that I'm working on. Can I submit a TV style script for this? And fortunately he said yeah. So I just write all of these out as if they're made for a TV show. Yeah. And then we go through with Mikey and we panel them out. So here's what's going to go there. But the dialogue, the instruction, that's all there on the page as it would be for a TV like camera command. So that's the only way I know how to do it.
What's it like to put together a comic book then?
Oh, it's a blast. And Zeke, yeah, he came on and it was like, I mean, the format that he uses with you know, it's just like writing a movie or a television episode is storyboard in a sense. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you need that script and then you break it down to panels. So it translates very easily. And I think that's why you're seeing a lot of comic books get out there in TV shows and movies is because, you know, you got the visual there, you got the dialogue, and then it already shows you what it should look like. So it translates easily. But yeah, so Zeke, for instance, gets me a script. I'd look through it. I don't actually have to give much feedback typically. He's got a good core writing group. Mikey is really good with reading. Miles, who's our other writer, he likes to look at stuff and he'll pick things apart too. And my role in Robot Dance Club, I got to contribute as a writer and then also with bigger ideas for the overall arc of the story. But once that part of it's done, you go to artwork. And sometimes you go back and you have to rewrite some of the stuff because the artwork doesn't work or there's something else that you need to work in there. You identify, you know, what's missing. And I think that's kind of a fun part of it as well. You get to do that editing process like you would in a movie and you get to go do reshoots. So you're, you know, going back and drawing again. And
okay. So this idea started quite some time ago for you then,
this
Zeke.
One did, yeah.
Okay. So then when it comes to you, Brian, and you've decided this is going to be a go, we're going to put this out, we're going to publish this comic book. From that point to dropping Halloween, how long of a time frame were we looking at?
It felt like we had a week.
I mean, it went really fast because initially, like, Frankenstein was a go, but it wasn't what we were working on first.
Right.
And it got to be, I want to say, like, we finished issue 1 March, April, where we wrote it all the way through. I don't know that we even thought we were going to release it this fall at that point. Like, we were kind of mentioning it last year at SuperCon, but we weren't even sharing the title.
Right.
So once you said go, really from April to June, we fleshed out the story arc for the 150 pages. And then we got to July and then it became very real. And Mikey was like, oh my God. So
we wanted this thing in our hands on October 1st. I think we were, what, 3 weeks behind, which is not bad by any means, but...
But at least you had a good date to drop then with Halloween.
Yeah, we had a full moon. We pulled a miracle.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
Brian, what are you hoping this becomes? Besides, you know, some guys that are writing for you, you're publishing it, you're part of the crew, you've got artists and so forth, but are we looking to something bigger?
Yeah, I mean, that'd be fantastic. I think that's always the end game when you do something like this, is to make it a full-time job eventually. There is so many moving parts, and it's such a crazy industry. And with the way that SuperCon was successful is that I could look at something and say, there's a really messed up thing out there with the way that they run conventions, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're charged too much money, and you know, if you're not rich, you can't go, or people are blowing their entire life savings to attend, you know, one convention, and yeah, I mean, that's just, you don't even know where the money's going, right? Then all of a sudden these guests are unattainable. You can't afford to see them. And so what I want to do with Empire is identify where those opportunities for us to shine as a comic book company and change the game a little bit in the industry. And sometimes you got to start really small and you got to make a lot of mistakes and you got to learn along the way. And, you know, this is my first time as a publisher. So, believe me when I say I don't know what I'm doing a lot of the time, but
it's hard to be the publisher though. I mean, that's where we kind of flip-flopped a little bit, because I've done a little bit of it as well, and it's not fun being on the other side of the curtain. Right? I mean, it's more fun to just be the person you're like doing the microphone work, you know. That's way easier.
So let's talk a little bit about the SuperCon and how this relates, because you know, SuperCon was SuperCon Line this year because of the pandemic. But yet, you still have something that's tangible. You can go out right now and buy this comic book. What about in the future? What? How do you see, if SuperCon has to remain online for a while, it helping these types of businesses?
Absolutely. I mean, we have comic books on two platforms right now, where you can get them and download them, read them. I think the unfortunate thing about us having to go online with SuperCon, and then us not being able to attend as a comic book company, you know, I got to keep these two things separate because they're very different entities. But, you know, we can't interact with people locally. And so while we want to appeal to a mass audience, the lack of conventions hurts us because we can't go to local places and meet people, right, face to face and get the comic books in their hand and talk to them. And we've got a pretty charismatic crew. We're not charming, one of them.
Yeah. We're charming. People like us.
You and Miles are pretty great.
Yeah. John. If you put us at a table, we're going to sell out. If you put us online, we seem creepy.
That's weird. You know, Mikey's a lot of fun. So, yeah, I mean, we get out there, we have a good time, and I think people pick up on that. When people are having fun together, and you can tell they love it.
Right.
You know, that's magnetic, and they really pick up on that. So reproducing that on a social media platform is kind of hard to do sometimes, or maybe, you know, on the online environment. But we had a blast getting interviewed with Charlie, who was also on your show.
Mm-hmm. Charlie Eccles.
Yep. So that was a good time. But I think, and then a lot of people responded to that. And that's, as long as we can keep doing that, I think that's going to be what gets us through all this madness, so we can still succeed and get our comic books out. And I mean, I don't want to speak for everybody, but for me, it's more important right now for me to get my art out and get my craft out than to make millions. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I'd rather just be that guy. I'm like that weird indie rock guy that really appreciates that more. Now, if we make some money,
I mean,
I'm
it would be great if
no.
we could do both.
Right, yeah. right.
That would be fantastic.
If you want to get me a million, that's fine. Right. I'm not going to complain about it.
Especially in a year like this year, like being able to create content that's seen by people, that's held by people, is a bigger battle, because a lot of the time right now, people aren't able to create anything.
Yep.
And to have any eyes on it, all we can control, we can't control that people like it, we can't control that people like thrive on a viral campaign, but we can control is getting content out, and that's all we can do.
By the way, I like the name Empire, because it's got a great play then of, you know, the Sioux Empire, but also, you know, Empire is one of those words you see comic books and you kind of think of that, you know, that this is something of an empire, or, you know, the Empire State Building. All the things that could play off of that. Do I need to even ask the question, was that intentional?
Absolutely. It was completely intentional, yes, yes. The Sioux Empire, the, you know, taking over the industry. I have these delusions of grandeur where I think someday we're going to be buying out a lot of smaller companies. You know, maybe not taking on DC and Marvel right away, but you know, we'll start eating some of these guys up. But, you know, that'd be nice.
Nothing wrong with having a dream, right?
Right.
Yeah. In fact, Zeke, obviously you've got your hands in a lot of things.
Yeah.
How do you divide up your time? Do you have a schedule planner that you put down and say, okay, I'm going to write on this day. I'm going to go create a video on this day. Or does it just kind of come up that you go, I better put some time in on this?
Zeke will answer my text within 5 minutes and get it done within 10.
Wow.
There's never a plan.
No, I mean, I don't have a schedule. It's just kind of manic. So I write every day.
Okay.
It's not always on a singular project, but whatever I feel like I can actually move forward on, I'll move forward on that. With videos, if there's a deadline, it's go time.
Mm-hmm.
And I thrive on the deadline. But no matter what, whether it's a documentary or a script that I'm writing for some other feature or working on a comic book title or kicking some ideas around, there's at any given moment about 19 stories I'm writing.
Wow.
And it's just a matter of which one I can finish. And then rather than move on sometimes, mm-hmm. which would be appropriate, another idea pops into my head and I work on that instead. But it's just a matter of trying to kick out as much content as I can, because I keep telling myself that if I keep throwing up enough content, eventually someone's going to want to see it or read it. So it's just a matter of me finishing it up and not talking about projects that aren't ready to be talked about yet.
In all these creative skills, what was the first one that you had a love for?
I've always loved the writing part of it. Anything's mm-hmm. Anything is possible on paper. And so I don't need to have a budget to write about it. And then I learned camera through necessity and produced because no one wants to be the babysitter. And then directed because there wasn't a person to do both camera and produce. And so I've learned all the other ones out of necessity, but writing has always been the part that I could control by myself. And I don't need a group of people to help me with that. But if I have people who are willing to help me with that, then it goes a lot faster.
Yeah, but obviously your other skills probably help you in that too.
Oh, absolutely.
As you start looking at projects like
how
this,
you,
right?
How you see something like editing a project makes you a better shooter. Shooting a project makes you a better director. Writing all of it and then having to edit things out that aren't necessary allows you to let things go that, like, early people are easy to dictate or easy to pick out of a room because they hold on so tight to something. Everything's so precious. It wasn't something that they put the time. If it wasn't the time they put into writing, it was the time that took them to shoot it. It was the time and effort that the actors put into it.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't make the story better, it can't stay. That's nothing
right.
personal. And so all of those things feed back into being able to let things go on paper and kind of finding what necessary parts are. And going from there.
Brian, what do you think is your best skill in this part?
If we were the Ghostbusters, I'd be Ray. I'd be the heart of the Ghostbusters. I think that's really my...
If someone asks you if you're a god, you say yes.
I say yes. Sharing is caring. And I think that's, since cheesy, but I think I got some self-serving a little bit too, isn't it?
I don't think so.
I mean,
you've assembled a pretty good team.
Yeah,
you know?
And that's what I enjoy that, though. That's what I enjoy doing. But if I'm not capable of something, I'm going to find the best people I can to,
okay.
you know,
yeah.
fill in those gaps. And I really honestly feel like I have. Between John, who's writing Space Monkey Mafia, and Miles, who's doing the Wilbur and the Robot Dance Club, almost forgot the name of my own title. Zeke Franklin.
Will there ever be some collaborations of these books together?
They're supposed to be in a shared universe.
Okay.
And so there's definitely opportunity for mm-hmm. some crossovers. We have a city called Meridian, where everything takes place, Meridian, South Dakota, at some point in time. So absolutely, there's going to be. And the stories take place in different places of time too, so we've got, you know, the future and the present, we've got the past, and I think that's going to kind of be fun to play into as well, because I don't know if we're going to do like a really big grand scheme, but there's going to be little Easter eggs and
mm-hmm.
there'll definitely be at some point a domino that falls within our shared universe that'll impact all the way through. So
just a matter of us hanging on and having some longevity.
Things to look forward to. So Zeke, when you're not creating in all these different facets that you have, what do you like to be entertained by?
I watch a lot of content. I read mm-hmm. a lot of content. Right now I just finished up for comic books. I finished up Once in Future, which is just releasing its second trade, which I'm really enjoying. And I'm like anybody else right now in 2020, blowing through Netflix and Hulu, you know.
What was your favorite that you've seen? while binging?
While binging lately, it was an older one, like not old, but like or classic. But I just went finished up the Mick seasons one and two, and I loved that.
Yeah,
it was just fun, and it's kind of the chaos that I feel like is going on in my own life right now. except they actually get to burn everything down in a way that I don't, which I'm a little jealous about.
So. Brian, how about for you then?
Oh, good. So I've been watching a lot of Star Trek. They got Lower Decks out now. They've got Discovery. So my kids and I will watch that on Thursday nights. Friday, the Mandalorian's back. So watching that. I love old films. I got this giant collection of these horror movies. I've gotten a couple of those. You get them bargain bins and stuff, and I'll go through and I'll just watch these old black and whites. That's been kind of my thing lately too. I don't know why, but I should really get into that. And
classics are tough to beat.
Yeah, they are.
I mentally have been so drained that I'm just have been enjoying just spacing off and just taking that stuff in.
Well, I'm glad the two of you could find time to be on the show. Certainly appreciate it. Brian Brockmeyer and Zeke Hansen, thank you for being on the Dave Holly Hour, and I won't say good luck. I'm just going to say continued success in first of all, everything you're doing, Zeke, but also for the Empire and as well for the new Frankenstein that has been out. And sounds like you better get that second printing ready.
Yep.
Absolutely. All right. Appreciate it. And we'll be back to wrap up the Dave Holly Hour in just a moment.
Ladies, when it's time to give your nails some love, get that extra special treatment from Quality Nails on South Minnesota Avenue in Sioux Falls. Manicures and pedicures that look great and make you feel fantastic. Zaya and Tony provide professional care for your hands and feet, whether you just want the basics or an extra special look with added flair. Oh, and guys, it's okay to treat yourself, too. Quality Nails. Call for an appointment. 605-334-1463.
From the Dipsy Doodle Studios at the world headquarters of Big D Entertainment, a 40-square-foot home studio in the middle of America, it's Dave Holly.
Thanks again to Jamie Tharney and Brian Brockmeyer and Zeke Hansen. Appreciate those people spending some time with me. We recorded those conversations, as we quite often do, at Wood Grain Brewery. 9th and Phillips is the corner that you will find that fun little place. And go in and have yourself a good beer. Nice craft beer, or maybe a glass of wine. Because of my diabetes, I don't drink either one of those, but we still go down there, and my wife and some friends have beer and wine, and so we still give them some business. But also, don't forget, I will be giving you the business, or you'll be giving me the business sometimes, is how it happens, at the Sky Lounge tomorrow night. That's right, Friday the 13th for Sky Lounge Trivia with that ruggedly handsome trivia host. That gets underway at 7. We'll hopefully see you there to have some fun. I know we had some fun last night doing Wacky Wednesday trivia at our friends at Books and Brews. So some weeks you get a double shot of Dave. Yeah, I know. We'll be back with more next week, with more Sioux Empire Arts and Entertainment Conversations. Remember, I'm Dave Holly, and for me, every day is a holiday.
The Dave Holly Hour has been brought to you by the Sky Lounge and Tea, XL Chiropractic, Quality Nails, and Books and Brews Pizzeria. If you would like to contribute to the continued success of this podcast, go to DaveHollyHour.com. At the bottom of the front page is the additional links section. Click on the orange button, Dave Holly on Linktree. You can order merchandise, become a Dave Holly Hour VIP, and make contributions to the show. The Dave Holly Hour is produced in the Dipsy Doodle Studios by Big D Entertainment.
Thanks for listening.